Good morning. Good to be here at God's house. Thank you all for being here with us. We're glad to have visitors that have come our way. Thank you so much if you're visiting with us for the first time being here at Rock Haven Baptist Church. Thankful for our friends from Canada being back with us and glad that we're able to have a place of worship this morning. Good to have all of you here this morning. We'll be in the book of Psalms, chapter 37. Psalms, chapter number 37, as you find your place there. Psalm 37. Let's have a few of our Bible trivia questions while we're getting to Psalms 37. Let's start over here. Anybody over here, how did Zacharias tell people the name of his son? He wrote it. That's right. Wrote his name, John. That's good. Over here. What skin disease did the brave soldier Naaman have? Yes, Emily? Leprosy. That's good. All right, one more over here. What type of birds brought food and water to Elijah? Anybody? Ravens. That's it. That's good. Well, we had a wonderful time in the Lord last week. We celebrated our 64th anniversary here at the church. And we stayed quite a long time here in the church, morning service. We got out around 1:30. So I promise you today, we will not get out at 1:30. Maybe 1:10, but not 1:30. No, I'm just kidding. We'll be out there at a decent time to get right into the Word of God. We're going to look at Psalms 37, verse 34. Psalm chapter 37, verse number 34. We're going to all read together verse 34. We're going to begin reading. You follow along with me in verse 23. When we get to verse 34, you please read that aloud with me. We'll begin reading in verse 23 of the book of Psalms, chapter 37. The Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever." Verse 30. "The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue speaketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth for the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." Verse 35, "And I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I saw him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." What a portion of scripture that we've read there. We're going to talk about this morning, wait on the Lord, out of verse 34 mainly, but I wanted to read those other passages of Scripture because they are precious and wonderful verses of Scripture to read as you look at them and read through them. About 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and delighteth in his way." That is something we need to always keep in mind. We need to understand that the wicked shall be cut off, like it says here in verse number 22. In verse 24, though he fall and shall not be utterly cast down, the Lord holdeth him in his hand. These are wonderful, wonderful promises here that we can look at and see in the Word of God and to know. And verse 37, mark the perfect man, and behold, the upright, and the end of that man is peace. We need to start looking for those men and women who walk in a mature way, in a complete way there, and mark them and set our eyes upon them and see that they are, that their way does not end in peace. But we're going to talk about wait on the Lord this morning. That is the primary thought as we get into the scriptures. And there's a principle that we'll look at. Now, the biblical meaning when we see here is talking about waiting on the Lord. It's not only just waiting. There are several ways that you can wait. For instance, Joel, where are you at, buddy? You want to come help me? Come help me up here, Joel. One way that we wait on the Lord is when we just wait for proper timing. You know, to wait is place something. Come here, Joel. Come help me, buddy. Place something or someone somewhere, and they wait. Here, Joel, come help me up here, buddy. You sit here and you just wait. I want you to wait and watch all those folks out there. You just wait. I'll be back with you in a minute. You wait. You gonna wait for me? All right. You sit there. Sit up. Sit up straight. There you go. There we go. Wait. So he's waiting right there. Another way is, Brayden, why don't you come help me, buddy? Let me sit. Come here, Brayden. Let me turn around here. Put your arm out like this. You're a waiter at the restaurant, okay? You know what a waiter is? You wait on tables. You have to work. Hold your arm up right like that. Yes, there you go. You're a waiter. There's a difference, isn't there? Amen. This way, he's waiting and he's not going to move. This way, he is going to be busy. He has a job. What did the verse say, verse 34? Wait on the Lord and keep his way. So we're going to talk about wait on the Lord. Now, he's waiting. He's waiting. Now, there's some principles in waiting. You have to wait for the proper time. It would not be right for Brayden, as a waiter of the table, to walk up to the table, bring them some iced tea, and to pour iced tea when they wanted Dr. Pepper. He would have to wait for the proper time to take their order. Are you ready? He has the menus. He gives the menu out. He sits there and he waits and brings some bread perhaps and sits on the table. He goes and waits on the other tables and he comes back and says, are you ready for your order? There's a proper time to do things. How many of you have ever been to a restaurant and you sit down at the table and the first thing you know, there was a salad set before you with ranch, but you liked Thousand Island or Italian. There was a glass of root beer sit there in front of you, but you like Coca-Cola. And then before you know it, there was a chicken leg and some pasta sit out there before you, but you don't like chicken. You prefer fish, and it's all there. You would not be too happy with the meal, would you? Then all of a sudden they bring you a meal. This $97. And then they say, by the way, the gratuity has been added. And it's not 20% here. It's 37% here. Thank you for coming and visit our restaurant. You wouldn't be too happy, would you? Sometimes we do that to the Lord, don't we? We go to serve and wait on the Lord. And we just take Him whatever we think He designed. We just show up there and say, it is. You're still waiting over there, Joel? Waiting for the proper time. Sometimes you wait on, sometimes you wait for. Yeah. I'm talking about waiting on the Lord. Thank you, Brayden. You want to see? You want some candy? You want a piece? That's for being a good waiter. You wait, you can get some. But you gotta hurry. So the principle is wait for the proper time. Listen quietly for God's voice. Have you ever been to that restaurant up north? They have one called Lambert's. You sit down and eat, and the waitresses walk around with a bucket. They got a bucket like this, and it's full of rolls. And if you want a roll, you raise your hand, and they throw it across the room. I mean, they just pick it up. Hey, sis, Lisa, there's your roll. What if you didn't call for a roll and you wasn't paying attention? Guess what happens? The roll hits you in the head. So you got to wait for the proper time, and you got to wait and listen quietly. And I'm telling you, dear friends, something else, you need to refuse to act until you are sure of God's purpose for your life. Amen. And that's the principle we got. You still waiting? Make sure they don't go nowhere. Watch them, all right? Did you watch McKinney right there? You wait on the proper time. You listen quietly for God's voice, and you refuse to act until you're sure of God's purpose. Look with me to Psalms 123, verse 2. Hold your place. We're going to come back over there again. But look at Psalms 123 and verse number 2. Now, this verse here has something to do with servants and masters, but it still has a principle in there, a portrait that you can look and see about waiting. Psalms 123, verse number 2, the Bible says, "Behold, as the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us." Let me tell you something, this waiting on the Lord, you're sitting there waiting, or you are waiting upon Him. Whichever place you are, we should be somewhere in our Christian walk. We should be servants waiting. Sometimes we have to sit and wait for specific answers to prayers, requests, or direction in life. Now, there's biblical illustrations throughout all the Word of God. As you look through the Word of God, you can find Abraham, how he was waiting for Isaac. You can find Jacob waiting for Rachel. Joseph waiting for vindication. Moses waiting for leadership on the Lord. You look at Job. Job waited a long time through the trials and tribulations for restoration. David waited for the kingdom. He was already anointed king, but he just couldn't take the throne. And he waited for the kingdom. And Anna and Simeon waiting for the fulfillment of the promise of the Messiah to get here. And you think about Paul waiting for ministry and the freedom many times to do so. Being locked in a jail sometimes, waiting for that freedom to minister to those around. So we have two ideas here. We have one that we need to be waiting on the Lord, and I'm sure that we all desire to do our part for the Lord. That's where we have to understand that when I do something for somebody here on this earth, I'm not doing it for them. My motive and my purpose should be I'm waiting on the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you, some people are not going to be grateful. They're not going to be thankful. They're not going to be pleased with what you do or how you do it. You just have to learn to wait for and unto the Lord and leave the rest up to the Lord. Amen. Because if you don't, you're going to get your feelings hurt dealing with people. Amen. You're going to get your toes stepped upon dealing with people. Now, I'll tell you, the human tendency for waiting, we don't like it. Most of us, dear friend, I'll tell you, dislike waiting. Just talk about waiting in a line somewhere. You know, at a gas station or waiting at a restaurant in line. And it just seems to take a long time for things to take place. Waiting, you know, I used to say waiting on mail. Nobody waits on mail. Many of you get upset waiting on a text to come. And the person texting you is sitting right next to you. That's the craziest thing I ever seen in my life. Who are you texting? Oh, I'm texting Sue. She's right over there. Why don't you just talk to her? Well, I wouldn't know what to say. You know what to text, but you don't know. Open your mouth. No wonder, guys, some of these girls don't like you. They think you don't have nothing to say. Open your mouth and speak to them. Oh, it's much better to just text, and that way I can keep the conversation going. We don't like waiting. And that's just a human tendency, for it. I mean, some of you have already bought Christmas presents already for someone. You're ahead of the game. Thanksgiving's not here. And you've told them, I've got yours cared for, and you're okay. I've got this one and this one. And from now till Christmas time, they're going to be bugging you. Can you give me a hint? Is it red? Is it blue? Is it big? Is it small? If I shake it in the box, does it make noise? And we cannot wait. Still waiting for it? Listen. The day which we live in is oriented for the immediacy of action. It's now. We've got to have it now. That's how these salesmen and the salespeople are able to make these quick deals, because we are programmed for now. We're programmed. Got to get it now. Got to do it now. Got to have it now. You think about this. Here's the problem with it now. Look at all the problems that's over in the Middle East. Because Abraham could not wait for God's promise. There's no other answer for it. All the problems in the Middle East, we can blame it on our economy and our foreign affairs and how we mingle and manner. I don't care what they blame it on. They need to go back and look at Abraham and Sarah would not wait for God and His promises. They got ahead of God, and now we have Hagar and Ishmael, and now we've had all those problems for all these years. For what reason? They would not wait. Think back in your own life. Let me tell you something different. I text out this morning a text to you that I have on my text list in the church. And if I didn't get it to you, it's because I don't have it have you on my text list. But here's the text. He that truly trusts in God will never step out of the way that is right, no matter how long he may be called upon to wait. Sometimes we want to get it done so bad that we're willing to go contrary to principle that is in the Word of God. Where we need it, got to have it now, that we're willing to dishonor Scripture, dishonor parents, dishonor values and morality, that we might get it now. If we trust in the Lord, like it talked about there in verse number 23, the steps of a good man be ordered by the Lord. We trust in Him. We got our minds set upon Him, and we're waiting Him. Listen, dear friend, we won't step out of the right way to get what we need and what we desire, what we want. And every one of us right now, dear friend, I'm telling you, teenagers, I'm telling you right now, if you're talking about relationship things and getting in a relationship, you need to talk to some folks that's gone down that path. That's made the mistakes that you're trying to make right now. Because they will not wait. They got to have it now. They must be involved now. And as you're involved now, emotionally, physically, and mentally with a person, dear friend, if it is not the one that's going to be with you for the rest of your life, dear friend, there is pain that happens during that division. How many of you ever tried to do this? Get some crazy glue and just to see if it really worked. You put some glue here, you put some glue, and you had to see if it worked. We see the commercial, a guy's got a hard hat on with a strap and he's hanging up there 70 stories in the air. Well, you can't believe everything you see on TV, preacher. You've got to try it for yourself. How many of you have ever seen somebody do this, put their tongue to a frozen steel pole? But we've got to make sure it works. Well, you know what happens whenever you sit there and you glue your fingers. It takes a lot to get it apart. And sometimes it takes the skin with it. Sometimes you got to get a razor blade and get down in there. Unfortunately, the razor blade doesn't know the difference between your skin and crazy glue. It just starts cutting loose. Because we will not wait in our relationships, I'm telling you, dear friend, we get involved physically with one another, and that is like crazy glue. That relationship that is supposed to be guarded and protected for marriage and inside the marriage bed, when it is consummated, it's like crazy glue. Even if it's mental and not physical. And it hurts when it breaks apart. And it stings because we won't wait. Think about business affairs that you have gotten involved in that you didn't wait and surely know, and the results are taking a job that was not what was not 100% sure that that's the place and business of what God would have you to be involved in. I do know this, that God does desire you to work. How do you know that? Well, because verse 21, the wicked borrow and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth it. That's up there. I didn't go that far up because I didn't want to get into that today. But God does desire you to work. But I believe God has a specific place that He would desire you to work. And I believe this all my heart, that not necessarily God desires everybody to be in full-time ministry, but our heart ought to be yielded to the fact that if God was to say, come, I'm willing to go. Amen. We need godly people in every aspect of life. We've got to wait. There is no way to see a greater danger of not waiting than looking back at Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael. Amen. Well, preacher, I'm not starting a nation. No, but you're living a life for Christ. Amen. And the same principle of waiting that Abraham had to wait for the promises of God, if he would just waited, it would not have been all the trouble and trials today. I'm just saying to this, whatever you sow in the flesh, you're going to reap. You don't wait, you don't wait, listen. And it is difficult, I'll be honest with you. It is hard to wait on the Lord. What are you waiting for, Joel? You waiting for me to stop and get that candy? It's hard, ain't it? It's hard. I'm telling you, dear friend, it's hard waiting on people like Braden did when they don't care if you serve them or not. But it's not about them. It's about our service to God. Amen. So this is it's a struggle. You know, wanting to do and not doing. Waiting and doing. Listen, it's more difficult to know when you should wait on the Lord and when should you act. How do we get to that point to know when to act, when not to act, when to wait, when to go? Dear friend, we've got to be full of the Word of God. We've got to be letting the Spirit of God be, and our spirit feasting upon the Word of God, that whenever God does speak, we have an ear to hear what the Spirit says. Because I'll be honest with you, dear friend, the flesh pulls and is stronger than we could ever imagine. So the Bible says, Galatians, they warth against each other, they pull at each other. I like this portion in verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep His way. You know, it's always right to do right. It's always right, but it's never right to do what is not right to do. Never. You know, it's just never right to do wrong. If you know it's wrong to bully somebody, it's not right to do it. And we can all agree that it's not right to bully. Is it wrong to take something that doesn't belong to us? Yes, it's wrong. We shouldn't do it. Is it wrong to talk vile and ill to somebody? Yes, but do we do it? We do it. It's never right to do wrong. It's always right to do right. Listen, you don't have to make a decision until you have... Till you absolutely have to make that decision. You know, sometimes we want to make a decision about next year. We want to make it now. when we should wait. Why? I got to do it. Why? Everybody else is making that decision. I've got to make that decision. You know what the best thing that helps me is this? I was reading an article. The article didn't help me. It really didn't. But I'll get to the point that helps me. The article said this. For you Christians, as I put it, for you Christians or you children of God who want to take the Bible literally, you are shallow. You need to be looking deep for the picture in between the lines of what God is saying. Since part of my problem is the black and white that I can read, forget between the lines, I'm struggling with. I can't do everything that I read point blank, straight down the line.
Amen.
Much less looking for something hidden off in the back corner. Listen, if I got to do that, I'm in trouble. You know how I know I'm in trouble? Last week I read a word through in the middle of our conference, in the middle of our anniversary service, I kept pronouncing the word piety as pity. I just kept going. There's a quite difference in piety and pity. But when you're going and you're reading, you look at it, you just go as fast as you can, you mispronounce something. Pity is having distress upon someone's sorrow, pain, or hurt. Piety is having honor towards someone that you respect and want to reference. And I have a problem just plain out reading sometimes. I don't have to look for the neat stuff. I need to get to doing the stuff that I know that I need to do. And he says, wait on the Lord and keep his way.
Amen.
When I come to a point where I need to wait like Joel's waiting, I do not need to neglect the servant that brings me. Sometimes this is what we do. I don't know what the Lord wants me to do, so I'm not going to do nothing. I'm just not going to be involved in nothing. I'm just waiting on the Lord. That's not the answer, dear friend. That's not the answer. When you don't know what you should do, do what already you know is right to do. And don't go beyond that. Don't go beyond that. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 36. Hebrews 10, verse 36, the Bible says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise.
Amen.
And the promise may not be right there, right then.
Amen.
You need patience. After what? You've done the will of God. What did it say over in Psalms? Wait on the Lord. Keep His way.
Yeah.
Wait on the Lord. And keep His way. You know, if Joel would have been wiggling around over here and not paying attention, not watching you guys, Joel would not be getting rewarded. Joel would have just sit there to be in the church. And after church, I'd have talked to them, Joel, if you'll just sit still and done right, Pastor would have gave you a piece of candy just like I gave Brandon for doing right. Did they do the same job? They both waited.
Amen.
One sat patiently, the other one served. Ye need patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You know what we want? We want the promises without doing the will of God.
Amen.
We want the promises now. What are the qualities in waiting? I'm telling you, to be honest with you, humility. You're going to have to be humble. You're going to have to humble and submit to yourself. You've got to have patience and submission. You're going to have belief and trust and faith that you are doing right. So while you're waiting for one aspect, whether it's a relationship, whether it's for a child that is going astray, You're waiting on the Lord here. You still need to be involved in the service of the Lord over here.
Amen.
Waiting on the Lord. Don't neglect the service, because the will of God and the promise. The promise comes at God's time. The reward comes at God's time. Not what I want, not what I say I should have, not what I need, I must have it. Look in Galatians chapter 6. We're almost done, church. Just hang with me. Wait. And the pastor will get out of the way. Galatians 6. I guarantee you this, that woman that was brought to the Lord, caught in the midst of adultery, and there those men was going to stone her, I bet she was glad those men weren't looking for some allegory. I'm glad she understood the Lord said, "You without sin cast the first stone." And other examples throughout the whole Word of God. Now listen, you need to sharpen your tack. I know pastor's elevator should go to level 13. It comes down about 8. It gets up about 8, but I don't need to just let it stay there. I need to keep reasoning the lines and pushing the buttons until I can get on up to 13 where God desired me to be. There's no excuse to be ignorant of the Word of God or ignorant of God's will for our life. Galatians 6 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Look at this. First, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Verse 13, the Bible says, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." You know, over in Psalms, it talks about the same thing. So if God keeps telling us to not be weary in well-doing, be patient, wait upon me, there's a difference, and we can't get caught up in waiting and just sitting still and just, seeing if God's going to talk and move. We have to stay busy on the service side of waiting for the Lord, or waiting unto the Lord, and waiting for the Lord. It's important that we do this. So, Pastor, I just don't know what to do. That which is right while you wait on that relationship. Do that which is right while you wait upon the Lord to move in your job situation. Do that which is right while you wait upon the Lord to heal you from some ailment. Wait upon the Lord and be busy in the Lord's work and for the Lord while you wait for that job to open up. Waiting on the Lord. Two aspects. Both of them very needful. Because sometimes we get so busy, caught up doing, that we think we can do that portion when we have to wait till the Lord says it's time to do. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus coming in the fullness of time. Galatians 4:4. In the fullness of time. Joel waited patiently and was rewarded for his diligent wait. So, I don't know where you are in your life today, but I do know this. We need to be serving. In whatever area it is, we need to be waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for God's proper time. Listening quietly for God's voice. Refusing to act until we're sure of God's purposes. He said, "Preacher, I've sowed and I'm reaping all the wrong things right now." Go back to Psalms 37. Psalms 37. We're closing this last verse. Verse 23, 37, 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and delighteth in his ways. Though he fall," it means he's failed, right? "A good man, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Oh, you might have fallen, but you're his child. You're part of his family. He's not going to leave you. You're going to be utterly cast down. Rise up. Serve again. Get back in line, waiting on the Lord, and keep moving toward Christ. Let's stand to our feet, church. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Jim's on his way. Anna's to be here in a moment. Perhaps there's been no time in your life where you can remember where you've made a personal decision to trust Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And perhaps there's never been a time in your life where you really realized that you needed Christ. Listen, our church can't save you. My words can't save you, but the Bible is full of God's promises. And God says, these things have I written that you might know that you have eternal life. If you are concerned about your eternity, whether or not you made a decision for Christ, I'm going to be down here in front. Come meet me. Talk with me. We'll take the Word of God. We'll show you what God says about heaven and hell. Perhaps you haven't waited on the Lord like you should. Perhaps you've already seen some problems like Abraham caused with the Middle East in your life. And God won't leave you totally cast down. These altars open. Come talk to God. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Come spend some time with him.